Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our consideration tonight is from the Thessalonian text. We're going to take a look at a gospel-empowered church. How a spirit-filled, gospel-empowered congregation can turn the world upside down. Can take Christ beyond its borders, can send light into that place that knows only darkness. Of course, we know that the church at Thessalonica received the apostolic message when it was preached to them. And not only did they receive it, but God was at work mightily in their midst. Do you know that in our own individual lives, in the lives of a congregation, when God is at work in us individually or as a group, the Holy Spirit will produce fruit because He gives gifts to every congregation. He not only brings the message that Christ, in fact, has redeemed the world from the fall, paid for our sins. He wants you to know that message. That's central. But along with that message, the Father says, "And I have gifts for you. I've given you talents." When the message of the gospel came to the Thessalonians, the gospel exploded within their midst, within their own individual hearts, in the congregational life and in the region. It would be like sitting in a dark building and all of a sudden, bright floodlights in the region. They lit it up. And the apostle is so absolutely excited about what God is doing. Because any of us as Christians, all we can do is plant. We can preach the word. We can plant the word. We can water that word in individual lives. But it's God that has to give the increase. Paul says to the Thessalonians, he says, "We give thanks to God always for you. Constantly." Hear the word, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith, labor of love, and steadfast hope. Look at what the apostolic teaching is here. We see that the apostle, it's like, he says, "We give thanks always to God, mentioning you, remembering you before our God and Father." Remembering you, doesn't it sound like he's right in the presence of the Father? Remembering you before our God and Father. That's relationship. He knows God. And most importantly, God knows him. There is a relationship. When we hear the gospel, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And Paul is rejoicing in the supernatural work in the life of the congregation. Believe me, there is a supernatural event that happens when you know you're abiding in Christ and his words are abiding in you. There's a funny story in the book of Acts, in Acts 19, about the seven sons of Sceva. In the Jewish community, there were exorcists. They would go around and they would cast out demons or try to cast out demons under the Jewish law. And so when Paul and the apostles began to preach and cast out demons, even as Jesus did, that was what was known as the keys of the kingdom. Jesus came and he gave the power back to his people. Jesus being the second Adam. He came and he had the authority of God in the work of the Messiah to restore Adam's dominion. And so he had the keys to the kingdom. When he sent out the 70, he said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Because the second Adam now had the authority over that demonic kingdom. Well, it was routine in the life of the apostles to do that very thing, even as it was in Jesus' ministry. And so it didn't take long for the Hebrew community to understand that there was power in that name. And so they went into one home where a man was possessed by a demon. And they went in and they went through their exorcism and they said, we beseech you and cast you out in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches. We cast you out in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. The demon looked over at him and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? You see, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. They weren't walking in the true authority of Christ. They weren't in fellowship with the Lord. And so he pounced on them, and their exorcism went really bad. They fled from the house naked and bruised. There's authority in the name. And when the gospel came to the Thessalonian church, the light went on and exploded. And Paul was before the throne of God giving thanks for what the Lord had done in that community. The gospel was spreading. And he gave thanks to the God the Father for their work of faith. Again, our relationship, it's not about knowing about God. It's about knowing God. It's not about having faith. It's about having faith that produces the fruit of works. It's not about just having love. Love isn't just an emotion. It is an action. It isn't about hoping, but it's about remaining steadfast in that hope. That was the three things that Paul prayed for this congregation. Their work of faith, their labor of love, and their steadfastness in their hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to tell him, he says, for we know, brothers, loved by God. You see how he emphasized? He wants you to know when you come to him, you are beloved. You know, our old sinful nature, the devil, of course, the world, they just like to send mixed messages to us to make you doubt that. But the apostle is constantly affirming that. I, from the pastoral ministry, would like to affirm that. God loves you. That he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not only in word. Now listen to this. Not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. There's a big difference between people just hearing about Jesus, thinking Jesus is a pretty good guy, pretty good teacher. He's had a lot of effect on the world down through the years. But when the true gospel enters the heart, when the word of the gospel comes, it is always accompanied with power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the day of Pentecost is all about. Jesus said, stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, is given. That's dunamis power. For you will receive power, dunamis. That's where we get our English word for dynamite. Dynamo. Dynamite. So when the true gospel comes, it's always accompanied with the Spirit and with power. And it brings about full conviction. It radiates. You know your God. You know your faith. And it's just like Jesus was in his day in preaching. Did Jesus know the Father? You bet. But you know the Pharisees, Jesus said of the Pharisees and the Sadducees of his day, he says, they sit in the seat of Moses. They had a rightful seat to teach Israel. But the people saw the distinction. Just like today's text where they went and tested Jesus. He says, you hypocrites. The people saw the difference. Oh, they had all, again, they sat in this a rightful, lawful seat of Moses. They were the successors to teach Israel. They had all the liturgical garb, all the liturgical trappings. They had authority over all the religious buildings and ceremonies and everything within the life of Israel. But the people saw right through it. They said of Jesus' teaching, he teaches not like the scribes, but he teaches with authority. The Holy Spirit empowers the gospel with full conviction. And of course, once they heard it, Paul notes that he says, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So here again is whenever there's a true conversion, whenever there's a true relationship, the Holy Spirit was given to us to make us holy. He's the one that makes us holy. And immediately he begins to conform your life into the image of Christ. And we're all broke in different degrees. God gives a measure of faith to everybody. He's at work in every one of your life. You can't say, well, man, he's really holy and strong faith. I wish I could be. You can be. Stay in step with the Spirit. They began to imitate the apostles and the Lord and how they conducted their life and their ministry of the gospel. And so, much like our day-to-day, too, they received the gospel in a time of great affliction. There were some seriously bad Roman emperors that really had a problem with Christianity in those days. He says, but you received the word. You received it. You held on to it. And even though all the tribulation, all the affliction that was coming against you and your family and your community, nevertheless, you received it in this affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Do you know you don't have human strength? If you're not born of the Spirit, as Paul said, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. If you don't have the power of the Spirit in your life, you can't have joy in the times of affliction. Now, that doesn't mean we can't feel pain and hurt and sorrow. But there's a solid joy to knowing that the cures for all of life's afflictions, the putting down of the church's enemies, the raising of the body from every disease that has befallen man from the fall. It's all in the gospel. And that knowledge, even in the worst trials, has a joy that's available to you right now. The apostle said, but you know what? That faith explosion in your life. And he went even farther. He says, so that you became an example to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and in Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere. I don't know about you, but through most of my Christian life, I've really wanted to know, is the light shining in my life? Is it shining out from our congregation, the work that we're doing here, in any congregation that I've been attached to, in whatever capacity? Some areas I was in the pew, I wasn't in the active ministry, but it was always, are we really preaching the gospel? Are we really being salt and light? The Thessalonians were. I think every congregation needs to soul search and say, are we like the Pharisees and the Sadducees of that day that have the authority to have the doors open, a building, to proclaim the gospel? Are we doing it because it's just what is given to us to do? Or is it empowered by the Spirit? Is it producing fruit in our lives, those around us? Is it affecting our community? He said one of the first things that was evident that the gospel was so powerfully working in their life, it says, it is amazing how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. The whole nation of Israel, like the church, is given, God gives it to the world as a gift to teach us what, in fact, the true God is all about. It's his revelation to the world. But people that don't know him in all the nations, all the way back to the time of creation, they begin to shape God in whatever imagination they thought God was. And of course, to shape him in any other image, to say of him, to teach about him, to do anything that is not according to what he has revealed himself to be, is a breaking of the first commandment and is idolatry. He goes on to tell them, he says, not only did you turn from idols, not only did you turn in having embracing idols in your own life, and sharing this false knowledge with other people, might getting them entrapped in these false religious systems, inviting them in, where it might be a bondage that will lead them to eternal death forever. Because it closes their ears and shuts their eyes to the truth. But Paul says to them, not only do you wait in patience, full of the joy and the power of the Holy Spirit as you proclaim the gospel. And boy, guys, are you doing it good. The whole world's lighting up because of you. He says, but while you're doing it, you're also keeping in focus the Christian worldview. He says, you're doing all this as you wait for his Son from heaven. The first Advent, we're coming into the Advent season, not too far off. The Advent season is about the first Advent, that of Christ coming, the incarnation. But Advent in the church liturgy and down through the years has always been about reminding as they are here abiding that the Son is coming from heaven. And this time, he is not coming as a lamb that takes away the sin of the world. He's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to bring an end to sin and to bring in a new heaven and a new earth. You wait for the Son who was raised from the dead. It is this Jesus, Paul says to the Thessalonians, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. Are the people that you know and your acquaintances at work and family members, do you got enough gospel edge that you just make their life, just if they're not true believers or they drifted away from the truth, and they're in a place they really shouldn't be, does your salt make them a little itchy? It should. Are you convicted yourself that eternity is just but a heartbeat away for every one of us? And they really need to hear the gospel. Well, the apostle was so excited that he stayed before the throne. And I'll tell you, that's the secret to the power of all of this. Regardless of what condition you're in, what condition the people around you are in, the cure for them is Jesus. The cure for getting them there is the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. And it's also you sitting before the throne of the Father, interceding and asking for their salvation. That's the key to a full and strong, powerful and joyful spiritual life in the gospel. Amen.